Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So somewhere in my past, I heard this story about a man who was a phenomenal fisherman. In fact, he was so good that his fame had spread far and wide. Eventually, though, the local game warden decided to investigate because his fishing stories had become, well, one of local legend, and they just sounded too good to be true. So, on a certain day, the game warden showed up at the man's door, identified himself, and asked to go fishing with him. The man was agreeable, and off they went to the lake. When they got into the boat, immediately the warden noticed, however, that something didn't seem right. The man didn't have any fishing poles or bait. He didn't even have a tackle box. All he had was a small duffel bag. So off they went, and they maneuvered the boat to the middle of the lake. Then, without a word, the man turned the motor off, reached into his duffel bag, and pulled out what looked like a stick of dynamite. Well, before the warden could say anything, he lit it and he threw it into the water. It exploded, and with a mighty roar, suddenly stunned fish by the dozens rose to the surface. As a result, the man calmly then started up his boat and proceeded to gather the fish. The warden said, "This is highly illegal." But the man just laughed and steered his boat to another part of the lake and did the same thing a second time with much the same result. By this time, the warden had had enough. He said, "Mister, you've broken so many laws, I can't even begin to count them all." The man again just laughed and pulled out another stick of dynamite. The warden, determined now, kept talking about the many laws that had been broken and the dangerous material that was being used and the like. Yet while the warden was still talking, the man calmly lit the stick of dynamite and handed it to the game warden. As he did, the fisherman asked the warden this question. "Are you going to talk? Are you going to fish?" Are you going to talk? Or are you going to fish? See, in many ways, I believe that for you and for me, for our ministry, that is one of our main problems with evangelism. We do too much talking and not enough fishing. We have way too many training sessions, strategy meetings, sermon instructions like this one. And so we end up talking about fishing, how to bait the hook, how to fish for the loudmouthed atheist or the saltwater Pharisees or the elusive de-churched member. And we memorize scripture and gather our tracts, but I'm not sure we ever go fishing. With the result that we, you and me, often lack the bold action of just simply going out fishing for people. We lack the bold action of fishing. Fishing for people. Still, you know, as that marinates, as Jesus will point out in this section of Matthew chapter 4, I don't think that's the only, or perhaps even the main, bold action he's commending here. And so maybe if we'd each be willing to tackle the main bold action here, then evangelism might come a whole lot more naturally to us. It might come more often from us. And the joyful initiative might take place more often in us. What bold action am I referring to? Well, it lies in verse 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repentance. You know, this is one of those words that I fear many people both inside and outside the church wish would go away, along with other such seemingly archaic words to the modern-day believer. Still, if, as verse 17 says, this becomes the core of Jesus' teaching from this point forward, then it's a word I think we need to talk about, redefine, and one that makes us take some bold action toward its work. On top of that, repentance, frankly, sounds like something that would be incredibly beneficial for us, especially as we re-examine our lives mid-pandemic and in the beginning of a new year, 2021. Yes, right? It's finally 2021. So, what then is repentance? And why should we commit our whole being and doing to its scrutiny? Well, the bold action of repentance starts by simply saying that we have a problem. Yeah, we have a problem. And perhaps this is the most difficult part of the process, because one of the hardest things we have to do is to admit that we have a problem. Doctors experience this with patients, as patients withhold crucial information about their condition, and then people complain because the healing never happens. Financial counselors experience this as people want help to hide their debt from auditors or their assets from the IRS. Counselors and psychotherapists encounter this as people deliberately don't tell them significant parts of themselves or their condition, information necessary for their therapy. And so I guess it's really no surprise then that when people come to Jesus, they try to keep all kinds of things hidden from him as well. Yet they can't hide their sin, and often they're stuck and afraid from moving away from that which makes them so sick. Ever been there? See, there are a whole lot of people today who feel stuck. They have a problem. They know they are in a dangerous place, and they are scared or indifferent, but they don't see a way out. They've got there by breaking boundaries or by taking chances with their life, chances that they shouldn't have taken, and they ignored the warnings of others. They need help, but they won't take it or refuse to ask for it. It's time to change, but they don't know how to make it, and they're not sure it would work. They're not sure the change would work even if they tried. And it seems easier to give up or to stay where you're at, even though their life is in pieces. But cleansing and change are part of the meaning of repentance. For repentance is not just simply feeling sorry for your sin or even just turning from your sin, but it means that your whole life is yielded. It's turned around. You turn from doing the act. You turn from who you were. And you turn by the Holy Spirit's work to go in a whole different direction. And yes, going in a whole different direction can be scary, even if it is better for you. I mean, just ask the people of God who left 430 years of bitter slavery in Egypt's grasp. They were in constant trouble, and yet when freed, they still wanted to go back to their old life when pushed. An old life that was filled with bondage and slavery. And instead of calling out to God, they just wanted to go back. Yet part of the bold action of repentance is that we admit that there's something wrong. We admit that we have a problem. A problem with sin in general, or with sin, with a sin, or several bondage-making sins and the broken identity that they create. And we need to admit that we have a problem, for then we finally break the bonds of fear and indifference and complacency that just keep us stuck. Stuck in Satan's hold, stuck in sin's grasp. And this is but part one of the gift of the bold action of repentance. See, the second reason I think we need to repent is because something better has come. See, as I said in the last point, repentance is not just about saying you're sorry for your sin, but it's admitting that we've been stuck in something we should not have done or said or thought. It's admitting the sin that's present in life, and yet, to put an even finer point on it, repentance is also saying that we have been trying to save ourselves, and we are in desperate need of the free grace of Christ. The most famous example of this kind of thinking is Martin Luther himself. For, see, here's what happened as he was getting converted by repentance work. He said, "I labored diligently and anxiously as to how to understand Paul's words in Romans 1:17. See, for Luther, he was just struggling over this verse. where Paul says that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Well, finally, through all this struggle and wrestling, Luther finally says this, I grasped that the righteousness of God is that righteousness which through grace and sheer mercy God gives us by faith. Thereupon I felt myself to be reborn and have gone through the open doors of paradise when I saw the difference. That law is one thing and that gospel is another. I broke through. Ah, and there it is. See, for years, Luther knew that he should repent of his sins and get God's forgiveness, but then he thought he was on his own to pull himself together. And then to give God a righteous life in order to earn God's blessing and favor. But suddenly Luther realized that not only had he done bad deeds and sins, but that even his good deeds and his commendable acts had been done all for the wrong reasons. They'd been done in order to try to control what God and others thought, and to try to create an identity for himself of being a good person. See, they were done in order to try to save himself. And only when he realized this did he finally break through. See, something better has come. The gospel means that we are saved from all of our sins, yes. And also from all of our self-salvation efforts as well. Repentance means that we turn to Jesus and in faith finally and fully grasp the beauty of what he's done for us. And so become beautiful by his work and his work alone. Something better has come. It's not just believing in grace, but in the grace of Christ. And holding to that specificity is a bold action taken in a pluralistic world. God alone has saved us in Christ. And that finally brings us to number three. The last reason to repent is because, well, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. The time is now. The door is open. The opportunities to share are all around us. Hey, did you know that Play-Doh was originally invented as a substance to remove soot from wallpaper? Yeah, Play-Doh was originally invented as a substance to remove soot from wallpaper. And it wasn't until decades later that it was marketed as a product for children. And now, in a manner of speaking, Play-Doh is returning to its roots. See, the latest Play-Doh innovation is a product line entitled Grown-Up Sense. And according to Play-Doh general manager Lena Vodaketh, it's designed to appeal to the sensory cravings of adults. Notable examples of this include overpriced latte, Lord of the Lawn, Mom Jeans, and Grill King. Corporate parent Hasbro has claimed that Play-Doh sales have surged during the 2020 pandemic as parents try to find more activities to do with their children while they're stuck at home. You know, as I was thinking about this article and as I was trying to think about how to connect it, because I just found it so intriguing, Play-Doh returning to its roots as it moves forward and the like, it just reminded me of 2 Corinthians 2, 14-17. Where Paul says this, Now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and through us reveals the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God a sweet fragrance of Christ among those who are saved and among those who perish. To the one, we are the fragrance of death, which brings death, and to the other, the fragrance of life, which brings life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many who peddle the word of God, No, instead, being sent by God, we sincerely speak in Christ in the sight of God. Friends, Jesus comes to us today while living in Capernaum, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy, adopting John's potent message, calling disciples to fish for people, and while ministering to the masses of Galilee and the Ten Cities region. And today the kingdom has indeed arrived. Today something better is at hand. And today is the day to repent. For salvation by grace alone, through faith, is his goal. Salvation is achieved through his work alone on the cross. It's the defeat of sin, Satan, death, and every self-salvific effort. And yes, the sharing of this message will indeed take bold and decisive action. But behind that bold action is the bold and hard work of repentance. It's people simply believing in him, breathing in his precious love, and then daily becoming the very aroma of Christ to those that are around him. Christ for us, Christ in us, Christ living through us. Wow. You know, I think that's a fishing story too good not to be true. In Jesus' name, Amen.